The foundation of his throne is justice, righteousness, and justice. And that from that place of authority, he exercises justice against the enemy. The enemy's also done a pretty good job of giving Christians such a guilt consciousness that when they talk about God's justice, they sort of kind of think about God coming after them for not being perfect. And even what I was praying earlier, think about the fact that when Adam and Eve fell, they fell by their own choice. Even though they were tempted, they made the choice. And there were consequences of it, but the great declaration was that the Lord was after the enemy. He was going to bruise his head. That's just the grace of God. And the cross wasn't because God was mad at you. It's because God was mad at the enemy and what sin had done to us. And justice is about what he's come to do. And that scripture is from Luke 4, when Jesus said, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." That was the great messianic promise. Of all the scriptures in all the Old Testament, there was a messianic promise. That was the one they prayed about, prayed into, thought about, looked forward to more than anyone, Isaiah 61. And then Jesus stands up and goes, he reads that and say, "It's here. I've come to do this." Let me just read the Isaiah 61 passage. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Now, why? "Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted." He said, that's why the Spirit of God is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. The Luke passage says, to proclaim that. Then he says, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Well, you know, John 20 says that just as the Father sent, Jesus said, sent me, so send I you. Why does the Spirit of God come upon us? Just so we can feel good? No, the Spirit of God comes upon us because he wants to anoint us to be able to proclaim the good news to the afflicted. And the only good news to someone who's afflicted is you don't have to be afflicted anymore. The good news isn't you're afflicted and I'm really sorry that you're afflicted and I'll be praying for you. No, the good news is that he's come to undo the affliction. And the word affliction here, or the word poor used in Luke 4, is simply the word oppressed. The oppression of the enemy comes in many forms. It can come emotionally and mentally. It can come physically. He's anointed me to proclaim the good news. The word we know in the New Testament for good news is the word gospel. Now, again, the gospel certainly begins with, would you like to be a part of the kingdom of God, the invitation to receive Christ. But this is what he says the good news is. It's good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's the gospel. To proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. People who are imprisoned to sin or bondage to different things or conditions in their life. He said, I've come to proclaim those things. That's the good news. That's what I've come to proclaim. I'm anointed. The Spirit of God's on me because I'm anointed to proclaim this. The same thing's true about us. And one of the things I told somebody yesterday, I'm praying God to show me even more, is how to break the silence. Because the most difficult thing for Christians really is when you're in a situation and you want to proclaim the good news to a person, how do you start that conversation? That's where the enemy hits us with fear and confusion. So I've been praying, God, show us how to break the silence so that we can proclaim the good news to the afflicted, that they don't have to be afflicted anymore. Not only do we have the calling and the anointing to proclaim the good news that they don't have to be afflicted anymore, we carry the authority and the power of heaven to exact that. Listen to what he says here. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to prisoners, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And usually people will stop there, the year of Jubilee, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus was anointed to bring good news and bad news. Good news to the afflicted and bad news to the devil. He no longer has the right to afflict. He's come to heal brokenhearted, so the enemy's being, his work is being undone. He's undoing the work of the enemy. But I love this word. Remember we talked about Sunday, that when I'm under attack, I don't want to weather the storm. That's at the point where I'm going to increase the attack and become the storm. I want, when it's done, the enemy to walk away going, well, that didn't work out really well. Because all it does is when the enemy attacks is alert me to there's ground to take and to advance. And this is the thing I just love this so much, the word vengeance. Proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And so I just studied this little word, but it's the word to, it's literally to avenge. So I just looked up in the dictionary what to avenge something or someone is. This is the definition. To inflict harm in return for a wrong either done to yourself or to somebody else. I'm called to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord to people. What does that look like? Heartbroken hearts being healed, bodies being healed, captives and prisoners being set free, spiritually and emotional captives and prisoners being set free, to conditions being set free, prisoners, the conditions being set free, and to bring harm, to inflict harm, to exact justice and vengeance, to inflict harm on the enemy in return for the pain and the wrong he's done to that person. But here's the deal. We can hear these words and go, wow, great word, man, awesome word. Well, it's not an awesome word if we're just hearers only. We have to go out and proclaim this. And obviously, when Jesus proclaimed it, he proclaimed it and said, now watch. Proclaimed it, now watch. He exacted harm, inflicted harm on the enemy. He proclaimed good news, the year of the Lord. He proclaimed the favorable year of the Lord, God's favor for that person, and the demise on the enemy. And then released the authority and power of heaven. And had to happen. We have the same calling in our life. And this is just one. And for those of you who are CTKers, most of us are today, you'll probably hear this as a sermon Sunday. We'll eventually, God willing, get back to him, Elijah, or not. The Lord would stop distracting. I love this. This is Matthew chapter 12. This is verse 15. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all, and warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the nations. And he will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not put out. That's a bunch of cool stuff that we have time to talk about. Until he leads justice to victory. In the name of the nations, and in his name, the nations will have hope. That covers everybody. So one of the things I saw that this morning, I thought, wow, that's an amazing thing to start praying into, but also to be part of our language, DNA. Lord, we want to bring justice against the enemy to victory. And like Wimber said, I think I've shared this before, Wimber was a great teacher, but sometimes people would come to him and say, we just want more of the meat of the word. And Wimber would say, the meat is in the streets. Because if all you want to do is sit around and hear more word, then you don't get the whole point of the word. So I just really encourage you to pray for God to give you opportunity to proclaim the good news. The favorable year of the Lord for that person. And then inflict harm on the enemy in return for the wrong he's done to that person. And bring justice to victory. Justice is only brought to victory when the person gets set free, when the person gets healed, when that person gets delivered. But they're not going to happen if we don't go out and proclaim. We can't wait for them to show up here. You got to get the salt out of the salt shaker if we're going to impact the world. Salt can't sit in the salt shaker and think, well, Lord, why aren't we changing the world? I love that, though, to bring justice to victory. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.